From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome to the Jack and Spike Show. Interesting economic forum in the middle of nowhere talking about how Washington economy is slowing down, but in relatively good condition, which is another way of saying we have no idea what we're doing. Right, Spike?
There's a lot of factors going in there.
These polls that keep coming out about the best places to live are driving me crazy. I think you got a conspiracy about this. And also, the Burien cops are considering leaving the department if the police chief is forced out by the city. Spike O'Neill walking into the studio with about 5 seconds before the show starts. What happened, Spike?
I like the band to get warmed up.
Yeah.
Before I step up to the microphone. You know what I'm saying? No, you know, I try to be respectful of Heather Bosch or whoever's at the Cairo anchor desk.
It's Heather Bosch. Yeah, that's her name. Whoever that person is.
Or if it's Aaron Granillo, I meant. Whoever sits in the chair. I try to not walk in while someone's trying to do their broadcast.
I think that's very sweet.
I waited outside till the light went out.
I think that's sweet, Spike. You're a sweet guy.
But I'm working on it.
You know what's not so sweet? The economy. So there was this random piece in the Columbia BA's in Herald. What is this? What is this website?
The conference took place at Central Washington
University,
which is the middle of the state.
Right.
And that's important because our state isn't just us west of the mountains. It's not just us high earners, high taxpayers in King County. A lot of small town America out there is part of Washington State's agriculture.
So Dave Reich is the executive director of the Washington State Economic and Revenue Forecast Council, which is another job that I thought would never, ever exist, right? Do you think when he was five... he was in kindergarten and he asked his teacher. His teacher said, "What do you want to do when you grow up?" And he said, "I want to be the Washington State Economic and Revenue Forecast Council." And then she said, "Okay, we need to put you in remedial learning. We need to put you behind."
How about ballet dancer? No!
So he says that we are still dealing with the after effects of 2020 or COVID-19. He says, "I would say economically, COVID is still with us." Now, I don't know how much I buy into that analysis, being that it's been well over 36 months, right? Mm. I don't think that there's people blaming COVID for the state of the economy now is a little old hat. It's a little lazy, right? Because there are larger economic issues.
There are.
Which contribute to this. And like, this is as bad as, you know, how MAGA people always bring up COVID during debates. Do you know what I mean? COVID was
rocking and rolling before COVID.
Exactly.
Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, it's just always like, it just seems so incessant. Reich said he's broken down the coronavirus pandemic into three phases. As a public health issue, the COVID-19 pandemic has subsided, Reich said, but it's still an economic challenge. And he goes on to say the usual buzzwords that people say. He says the supply chain and all that, which is, of course, from somebody who has that position. I want him to say
all that means, you know, a little deeper.
Yeah, I just want to, yeah, you know, the supply chain and all that jazz, right? You know, whatever that might be. And he goes on to say, and then at some point there will probably be some long-term effects of COVID that show up later. So, statewide, Washington lost about 430,000 jobs. And, the recovery didn't necessarily match the typical recovery pattern from other states. But part of that is because a lot of people left.
Left. Jobs were eliminated.
Right.
But workplaces were eliminated.
Yeah.
I think we were talking about how this is still hanging around 3 years later. It's because downtown hasn't recovered. You know, commercial office space, that market hasn't recovered.
But that's not COVID's fault.
It is COVID's fault. I'll tell you why. Because
I was going to make my point, but make your point. COVID's fault?
Nope. Because people saw differently how they could work. Employers saw differently how their workforce could be productive.
Mm-hmm.
Some companies are just barely now forcing people back in the office mm-hmm. 3 years later. So you have a workforce that's not commuting into town, mm-hmm. that's not buying gas, paying gas taxes, mm-hmm. that's not working downtown, not buying lunch, not frequenting businesses. You know, all those things are contributing to the lack of money downtown, lack of tax base downtown. All those things still play on the economy.
Well, that's not COVID's fault, though.
It is COVID's fault because COVID was what made that change.
I was going to make my points, but...
go ahead. I don't want you to.
You did it two times in a row, buddy. What am I doing here?
Tell me why I'm wrong.
Okay.
Go ahead. When I say tell me why I'm wrong, I'm being fairly earnest in my desire to learn, because I'm here to get smarter.
I feel like this is a circumstance where I'm debating with my dad. Do you know what I mean? And I'm like, well, my thought is, and
let me tell you. I'm sorry. And that's my trauma from my childhood regurgitating up onto you. And I apologize,
Laura,
my friend.
Do you ever run into that where you're like, you start to ramp up to what you want to say? And then dad comes in and he's like, and the other thing about what it is, is this, right?
No, my dad is a journalist, so he's actually a fantastic listener.
Oh, okay.
You end up saying stuff to him that you did not mean to. He just has that perfect active listening. And then all of a sudden, you're like, wait, I did not mean to reveal that. And
okay.
You're crying.
Yes.
And that's why he got into white-collar investigations.
Hey, there we go. That's Laura's dad.
I can learn from him.
So the reason that I don't think it's COVID's fault is because if we look at the length of time Inslee kept his emergency powers, mm-hmm. and then you combine that with the length of time that these corporations decided to ignore the metadata on COVID and the transmission of COVID, and you combine that with the fact that there has been very little attempts to offer any kind of subsidies or incentives for businesses downtown, this ceases to become a COVID issue,
okay.
and it quickly becomes a government issue. And here is why. When you think about businesses that left, it was somewhere in the neighborhood about 17,000 businesses in the United States in some total that will never come back.
Correct.
When those people are pulled, more often than not, those business owners say, why would I take out a $250,000 business loan on a Monday if on a Friday the government can come in and tell me you don't get to run your business and here's maybe $30,000 in stimulus money? That is a government problem. It's not a COVID problem.
Fair.
And so when you try to frame it as, well, it's purely COVID, I look at this and seeing it being much more a highlight of kind of government incompetence when it comes to COVID-19. And then there are other states that have rebuilt much better. If you look at, and I'm just going to throw this out there, if you look at states like Florida, DeSantis saying that we will not do lockdowns the way that they were done in 2019, 2020, that brought business to that state.
It did. Absolutely.
Objectively,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, did.
Now,
yeah,
I'm not saying that we all need to be insane about lockdowns like how DeSantis was, but what you do need to do is you need to reassure people who take out huge amounts of money to run a business in loans or invest huge amounts of money. You need to assure them that their investment will be well taken care of.
I hear what you're saying. So how it probably would be better phrased if I were to say that poor governmental response to COVID is why we're seeing the economic Okay, cool.
So I have a conspiracy that I wanted to talk about because I saw another one of these stories. It says that here's where Washington lands on the 2024 best states ranking. Now it lands at number 10. Number 10 on that list, not number one. And it seems like every, I want to say like 2 or 3 weeks. Nicholas, have you noticed this? Like every 2 or 3 weeks on the internet, there's some list of the 10 best cities or the 10 best states or the 10, you know what I mean?
What are the 10 best destinations to retire?
Right, exactly. But it always rotates through the same site. You know what I mean? So I think there's a conspiracy going on where states are paying to get on these lists on these different websites. But this was my thing in reading this. It says that Washington is the 10th best state in the nation to live in. To whom? To whom, I ask, right? Because if I were to ask the homeless guy that I saw breakdancing down the street the other day, it's probably not very good for him.
No.
If I were to ask some people on the flotilla that's outside of Jeff Bezos' house, they would probably say yes.
It's a great spot to be. If you want a guy snowshoeing out at the foothills of the Cascades, he loves it here.
Exactly, right?
Yeah, but when you weigh in the guy with no home and the guy with the snowshoes, that's what averages us out.
I was looking at the Seattle subreddit, and I was looking at people who were looking for a place to rent in Seattle, and this person is making $75,000 a year,
okay.
and they are looking for a place to rent that is somewhere in the neighborhood of about $1,500 to $1,750.
Okay.
They could not find it. They had applied dozens of places. They could not find anywhere to rent, and so they were then having to find one of those micro apartments on Aurora.
Ooh.
In order to try to find anywhere to live.
Little podment, yeah.
So
yeah.
I cannot with a straight face go to that person and say, hey, did you see Curiosity.com has this great piece about how this is the best place to live? Even, you know what I mean?
I do.
I mean about these lists is that you can talk about healthcare, education, economy, infrastructure, opportunity, fiscal stability, crime and corrections, so on and so forth. But it is such a vague and vapid way to approximate how people are doing in the state. Because I read about people who are having a hard time every day. This kind of nonsense, I think, discounts those people that are struggling to make it in a very high cost of living area.
Agreed. But what we need are some rich folks to move in and spend some money.
Yeah.
And that's it. You got a shiny little number 10 in the country in front of them. You got to give them that little best. But nobody's going to move here if we tell them the truth
about
how hard it is to make ends meet in this town or earn a living. And this guy was looking for a place in the city.
As a young lady.
In the city, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen at $1,500 a month, $1,200 a month.
And I think that that is an issue, especially considering if we look at how these rental places basically collude, and I say that as a statement of opinion, not a statement of fact for legal reasons, they basically collude to artificially inflate prices. Because if I want to rent to people at a lower cost, and I'm right next to the building that is renting at a higher cost, we're going to want to share in that business, right?
You betcha.
Why be competitors when we can rip everybody off, right?
Exactly. And when you have a small group of property owners who own the vast majority of rental properties in Seattle, it's so much easier to collude.
Indeed. Burien cops are considering leaving the department if the police chief is forced out by the city. So we've been talking about this for a while now. Chief Ted Bowe is being how do we contextualize this? You got Patty Cole Tyndall, she's the sheriff.
She's the sheriff.
She's talking about how she's not going to enforce the camping ban. Right. And then you got Ted Bowe, who is saying what, Spike?
The chief says he's not going to enforce this law because he fears it's unconstitutional and doesn't want to put this force and the city of Burien in a position where they could be sued out of the yang. I mean,
which they will be.
Oblivion. Correct.
Right.
The city of Burien isn't having any of this. It's the statement that they issued, the city of Burien issued, as well as the King County issue, their statement. Neither of them are supporting Chief Bowe in this.
Right.
Neither one. They say, look, we hired a guy to do a job. It's not up to him whether it's unconstitutional or not. Mm-hmm. We feel it falls in line with President Biden's policies. Although it doesn't about not having, not just moving people along without a place to put them. That's the part the chief is worried about.
If they fire Ted Bowe and then they start instituting this camping ban, the city of Burien will end up with a lawsuit that will make people leave that city. Do you know what I mean? That city.
And less cops because they like their chief. They support their chief.
Oh, yeah. All these cops are coming out in a nice letter and they say, if you fire Ted Bowe, we are going to leave as well. And I think what's going on here is that you have too many politicians who are listening to people yell about the aesthetics of homeless people and the crime, and they're so tired of it. And they say, police, won't you please do something? And rather than saying, well, this is something we need to petition the federal government for because we don't want to get sued. This is something we got to bring a lawsuit all the way up to the Supreme Court. Rather than doing that, they're choosing to play politics with Chief Bowe. And I find it to be really disgusting. Most people, if you really understood this issue, you would see that the Supreme Court is going to make a decision in June on camping bans. You wouldn't be playing politics like this because you can wait, 6 weeks
and have your answer,
and then you can go about. But this is all playing politics, and I think it's important for people to understand the difference between taking a stand on morals and ethics and then also just playing politics with somebody's job. And I can think of nothing more low than to play politics with Ted Bowe's job by saying, well, we're going to give you a vote of no confidence if you don't basically break the law and get us sued.
We'll get a yes man or yes woman, yes sheriff in here to do what we want done.
Yeah.
And part of the statements from the city of Burien and the Burien City Council, the mayor and the city council, there is no such thing as a Burien Police Department. You're King County sheriffs. You work for us.
Ah.
We decide what you do. And we decide which laws you enforce. The chief is hired by the city. We have the right to hire who we want. We want somebody to say yes to our policies, which could very well be unconstitutional.
Laura, anybody in the text? We have to move on. I can't even ask that question.
Darn.
I can't. This is the rules. We all signed the book with our own blood that said that when that horn blows, we have to move on to a completely.
I was wearing a cloak.
Exactly. We had lots of candles around. It was kind of like that scene from Eyes Wide Shut. Not that scene, Spike.
Oh, good.
Whew. The scene where they're all putting on the hoods and doing the throat singing.
Gotcha.
So Florida's ban on lab-grown meat. How does it affect you? Well, DeSantis, being that he is a free market capitalist, and he believes firmly in free enterprise, and he believes firmly that people should be able to get the kind of products that they want to get, because he's not a lib. He's not going around blocking people from buying things that he's not doing a Gavin Newsom who's saying you can't buy gas-powered cars after 2035. He's not a lib,
no,
is
he's
he?
A red governor.
That's why he refused to sign this into law, because DeSantis is a man of principles and morals. And when you are a free market capitalist, you believe that if there's a product that's being put out into the market, that has been shown to be relatively safe for human consumption. You're not going to get in the way of that. What is this, the Biden administration?
No, you're not going to be a protectionist.
I didn't even bother to read it because I know he didn't sign it, because if he signed it, that would mean that Ron DeSantis is a neoliberal. That would mean that he's a complete and total neoliberal shill who wants to prevent businesses, new businesses, from coming out with lab-grown meat. He didn't sign this. Why are you guys being quiet? Did he sign this? I don't believe it.
Bad news.
He did not sign the law.
He says, well, I stand with our cattlemen. He said, I swear to you.
Gee.
He said, I will fight for the right of our cattle industry.
I guess I was totally wrong about Ron DeSantis. I thought that he was a beacon of freedom and enterprise. I thought that this was a man that I could look up to.
Was it the boots that threw you?
It was the boots. He's wearing those fine Stetsons. I thought that this was a man who would not get in the way of ingenuity. I thought that this was a man who wouldn't get in the way of free enterprise. I mean, are we communists or what is this, DeSantis?
Give the people what I want, he said.
Exactly. So he says Florida is fighting back against the global elite's plan to force the world to eat meat grown in a petri dish or bugs to achieve their authoritarian goals. This is the ramblings of an insane person. So bugs do possess a certain component in their shells that's not digestible by human beings.
Correct.
Chitin.
Right.
But if you remove that, it's actually a very good source of protein.
Pure protein and a major food source for a large portion of the world.
And then when he talks about force the world to eat meat grown in a petri dish,
ain't that the greatest sentence you ever heard?
Did he look into how much it costs to make it's not like we're going to go to Ethiopia and start handing out lab-grown T-bones. Those are expensive pieces of meat to make.
It's an alternative.
Okay.
Of a free market.
All right. I mean, this is
right?
I mean, I guess Ron DeSantis is a Republican. I would assume so, but this would tell me that he's a neoliberal shill who will side with big cattle in order to prevent markets from developing in new spaces.
We said yesterday, guys are suckers for meat, remember?
Guys are suckers for meat. All about that
not
meat.
Not bugs. Not bugs.
A young woman has gone viral in Western Washington for accosting and insulting a black man in a car. And we did a digital special about this on our YouTube channel, The Jack and Spike Show. We're going to go over Fox 13's coverage of this, because their coverage of this, I just see a bunch of broken people who don't want to talk about this story. And yet they were treating it like it was the Nixon trials.
Wow.
You know what I mean? They were treating it like Frost Nixon. You know what I mean?
It's our Emmy moment.
We'll talk about it. We get back right after this.
The internet can be a dark and often dangerous place. Only one man has the courage to go where no sensible person would go. Jack Stein is terminally online.
Terminally online, wasting my life on the internet so you don't have to. Can you believe that Steven Spielberg went to John Williams and he said, I need a song for my movie about dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. And then John Williams said, say no more. And then he wrote one of the most beautiful pieces of music ever written.
I didn't realize it was so little direction to Williams.
That was a joke.
Oh,
we can take it as being literal. That's exactly what happened, Spike. He just said.
You have to remember that Spike and I are the most gullible people in the world.
Yeah.
But you speak from a position of authority when it comes to filmmaking. So
okay.
I tend to take what you say pretty seriously.
Speaking of filmmaking, by the way, there was a white woman who was filmed berating a black man at a West Seattle McDonald's. And Fox 13 did a really great piece on this. They did really great coverage of this. We talked about the video in our own opinion of the video on our YouTube channel, which you can subscribe to, and that video is going to be released at 3:00 this afternoon, so you can check it out then. But we wanted to talk about Fox 13's coverage of this event, because they went full, just wall-to-wall coverage, but they did a full package on this, full investigation, full 60 minutes on a viral video. And I think it just goes to show the state of news today. This is not news in any way, shape, or form. A white woman yelling at a black guy in a parking lot of McDonald's is not news in any way, shape, or form. But Fox 13, those people are so good at their jobs, they thought, we could take this 90-second video and we could make a 5-minute piece out of it. So check this out. This is what I saw this morning on Fox 13. Here's what that sounded like.
I'm so ready to fight club this. Let's go. Come
Okay, thousands of likes on Instagram, millions of likes on Twitter. This is the viral altercation at a McDonald's in West Seattle.
Pause it. Did you hear that? Did you hear just that? Okay, so...
All those years of journalism school.
All those years of journalism and studying, you know, wow. Frost, Nixon, oh. You know, just completely... I guess we're going to just boil this down to be like Entertainment Tonight, right? It's like TMZ all over again. Here you go. This was us. Or you can continue with it, Laura.
Fox 13's Lauren Donovan is taking a closer look at what exactly set this woman off.
So the man who took that video, I just talked with him, and he believes that she was upset somehow with how slow he parked at the McDonald's. Parking lot drama, most all drivers have experienced it themselves.
Wait, Foster. I mean, this is supposed to be journalism, dude. Wow. This is a random event at a McDonald's parking lot that is inconsequential. This isn't Stormy Daniels. This isn't Donald Trump. This isn't Jay Inslee carbon tax. This isn't, you know, whatever it might be. Completely inconsequential. And Lauren Donovan, who's got a special place in my heart, is trying her best to take this as seriously as possible. And I salute her in all sincerity for taking a nonsense, garbage story and really putting A-plus effort into it. That is the sign of a true professional, right?
Yeah, and they spoke to a law expert about this.
I know. They got a lawyer for
really?
It.
They got a lawyer. Yeah, do you want to hear that
part? Yeah, let's hear the lawyer.
This woman comes at him just 10 out of 10.
Looking for answers, I turn to local attorney James Prescott, who specializes in assaults and altercations like this.
I just settled a case where a guy was almost strangled to death over a parking space. My impression is that people's patience has gone down a little bit since the pandemic. I think we all had a couple of years where we weren't interacting with strangers maybe as much as we used to.
Pause it. Looking for answers,
yes.
I turned to a lawyer. Looking for answers as to why an uppity white woman drinking a cup of McDonald's coffee would start yelling at a black man, I turned to an attorney. So in Washington State, I actually learned this from this piece because that's how good it is. It is illegal to speak to somebody in this way. It
oh,
is illegal.
No kidding.
You cannot say to somebody in Washington State, we're going to fight.
Okay.
Come fight me, because that is...
She did say Fight Club. Yeah.
She did say I'm about to Fight Club this. So the thing about this piece is that, again, the only reason to talk about it is to generate clicks. That's why we're doing it on our YouTube channel, which everyone can go see our response to this video.
Tune in tomorrow when we bring in socialist,
right.
sociology professor,
right.
Talking about the decline of decorum in our society.
Fox 13 does great reporting.
Yeah.
They do great work over there. This is objectively hilarious because it's like taking a world-class sports team, right? It's like taking the Buffalo Bills in the late 80s mm-hmm. and saying, so do you guys want to go ahead and there's this peewee football team and they're having a bake sale. Just curious if you guys would like go down there and give them some pointers. You know what I mean? It's
yeah,
like
it's good stuff.
There are skills and talents that those guys have that can be best used somewhere else. And this is objectively not the way to do it, Fox 13, in my humble approximation of it. Am I being too hard, Laura, as someone who's...
No, I
exactly.
don't
Exactly. Thank
so.
You. Thank you.
It's like a mom trying to make a dinner out of whatever's lying left in the fridge.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what
I
it is.
I can whip this into something presentable.
I can make this into something. And if you watch Lauren Donovan, she's so good at her job. She treats this like it was the who was the basketball guy who shot off a couple rounds in a parking lot the other couple
oh,
months ago?
Oh, Sean Kemp.
Sean Kemp.
Yes. Carjacking gone wrong.
She treats it with the same severity as Sean Kemp. Shooting allegations, and that is why I salute Lauren Donovan. I have to talk to her about this because this is absurdism of the highest order. Have we not fallen from God's grace for more and more every single day because we cover trash like this?
Yeah, won't this get the Fox 13 logo national though? Once because this lady. She's a hot ticket right now.
It's going national this, for sure.
Right, so
this
we'll get
to be
little,
their top performing story on their website for the next 3 months.
Well, hopefully it's going to be our top performing video on our YouTube channel because we covered it. And just as a teaser, the guy who's driving the car is black.
Mm-hmm.
Woman who's yelling at him is a white woman, and she is going ballistic because he backed into her parking space. And as Lauren Donovan said, Laura, apparently all of a sudden he heard a little bit of the
beep, 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 beep.
And he didn't realize that was somebody honking
somebody
at him.
Because that's my spot. You're taking my spot.
Right, exactly. So, but if you watch the video, there are spots all around Wait, she specifically wanted that
spot. Yeah, I noticed that. I couldn't figure out what set her off initially, having seen just the raw footage.
It's really bizarre, but I guess that's what local news is stooped to these days, where it's like, well, slow news day. You guys want to talk about the zebra again? Or we got a white woman yelling at a black guy in a parking lot, right? It is rough business being in the news business.
Isn't it kind of an ironic element that we're talking about a story that is pure fluff and has no real meat on it in a fast food restaurant that has no nutritional value?
Aha, Mr. O'Neill, the correlations can be made.
This is the happy meal of news stories, right? Or the unhappy meal.
I think that what's going on with news is that they realize that if you talk about the economy, you know, in the numbers and the stats and the figures, people are like, boring, please, right? If we were to talk about the inconsistencies of the Biden presidency or the inconsistencies of the Trump presidency, boring. What do I care? It's got to be porn stars. It's got to be people yelling at each other in parking lots, right?
Beep, 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 beep.
Viral videos of a threat.
I mean, like, I want to program that when I have a car. I want that to be the sound of my horn. I want it Lauren Donovan beeping, because that's her doing that's an onomatopoeism, right?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly
right. Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah. Thanks, Lauren Donovan. I appreciate you. Call me, Lauren. We should be friends. We're contemporaries in the news business. Somebody clip this. Send it to Lauren. Let her know how I'm a huge fan. Yes, she does such great work. And I just feel so bad for them that they had to cover this story. Producer's choice, I'm just now seeing this story for the first time, because this is a segment that Laura gets full control over. Because somebody in management, whatever that means, told me Laura needs to be invested in the show more.
Okay.
She needs to have a stronger presence in the show.
Okay. Right.
And I said, who? And they said, Laura, your producer. And I said, Nicholas? And they said, no, girl, the lady.
There's a lady in the room?
And I
went, what?
I thought she only brings me coffee and listens to me yell at Spike. Your phone can tell you when your phone, what am I saying? Your phone can tell when you're depressed. Mine can, because it's constantly looking up local therapist in Seattle.
Funny you should mention
local
that.
Therapist in Seattle today. We're going to find out from Vox as to how it can tell if you're depressed and why it's selling you products based on what your search history.
Why I hate this.
And why I hate this when we get back right after this. All right, producer's choice. I thought we had a thing for this.
Yeah, the file was broken. Andrew and I were frantically trying to pull it up in the other room.
Who should I blame for this, Spike? I'll blame myself.
There you go.
I'll blame myself. Okay. It's my fault. Okay. I'll take responsibility for this publicly. And then privately, I will blame everyone else for this behind the scenes. So there is an article over at Vox talking about how your phone can tell when you're depressed. What that basically means is that your phone is able to look at your search history and compile through metadata what depressed people tend to look at when they're in a state of depression. So it doesn't take something as expressed as I am depressed in the search history in the Google bar.
No, you don't have to type in the word.
Therapist in Seattle.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Although that is part of the data they're collecting, too. So,
yeah, that's part of it. But then the other part of it is that they're using AI to predict mental health from human voice samples. But then also what they're doing is just your general search history or spending habits online can also show if somebody is depressed. Now, Laura, why do you hate this? Why do you despise this?
Okay. This feels like a worse version of my fitness tracker on my phone that says little things to me like, whoa, you're way ahead of where you normally are at this point in the day.
Yeah. So what you feel like it's monitoring your behavior, so you have to convince your phone that you're not actually depressed?
Nothing would make me more angry immediately than a robot telling me that I have depression.
Save that drop, Andrew. I need that drop, please.
On speed.
Save that. I need exactly that, and I need that played at least once an hour.
Am I wrong?
No,
am I wrong about that?
You don't know how right you are. It's also going to track your number of steps every day if you're taking less steps. If you're sleeping more, because your phone's in sleep mode longer or at unusual times,
is why when everyone poo-poos me about how I don't want the robot menace to come along and everybody says that I'm some crazy conspiracy theorist, oh, Jack, you're totally wrong about this. Nay, I say, I'm totally correct about it, because eventually you will have a little a floating cherub AI that follows you around that looks like your favorite cartoon character, or maybe it's your favorite, you know, former sports broadcaster.
Sure, yeah.
Right? Like, I'll have Joe Buck following me around, and it'll be AI Joe Buck, right?
Nice.
And he'll be saying, He'll be saying that I'm looking kind of fat today, or he'll be saying that I've had too many calories today, or whatever it is. And it will be miserable, right?
And it will raise your health insurance rate, and I'm sure.
Right, exactly.
That's
right?
My conspiracy theory about all of this.
Right.
Do you use your face to turn on your phone? Does it have facial recognition?
I actually resisted that for a long time.
Shouldn't do that. Well, that's a bad idea.
The convenience one.
They're talking about compiling your facial recognition wake-ups for your phone and seeing if you look a little down.
Oh, if you have tears streaming down your face?
Or you just look a little whatever. You know.
I actually don't. This is going to make me sound like a crazy person. I do not password protect my phone, and I do not use face recognition. I've turned all of that off. And it's largely because in order to get into any of my apps, you need to have the password to get into said apps.
Okay.
So somebody can steal my phone, and they can find a lot of stuff about me on my phone. Bank account numbers, emails, But huh. So I refuse to do the whole password thing. I refuse to, because I'm not going to be tippy-tapping my password, and every time I shut off my phone, I shut off my phone thousands of times a day. Why would I want to go tippy-tip-tap-tap every day? Dozens of times when I could just have it open all the time. But that's besides the point. I don't think that people should adopt robots into their life to the degree that they are currently adopting them, because we already know that Facebook, Instagram, every social media platform that is quote unquote free, you are the product that they are then selling to advertisers.
Nothing's free. That's right.
And so when people say, oh, isn't it so great that I've got this fitness app or whatever it is.
Quote, an additional layer of care.
An additional layer. Yeah, interested in you.
They'll sell it to you.
Interested in you, right? If that's not one of the most disturbing things that a corporation can say about a sovereign human being, we're interested in you, as the consumer.
Yeah.
Right? It's just bizarre.
Wow.
Do depressed people do more online shopping?
They do.
I wonder.
They do.
Yes, they do.
They do.
Anecdotally, that feels like my experience.
So, President Joe Biden is to visit Seattle on Friday, but there's a catch if you're thinking about where to go to avoid the traffic. Did you read the story?
No. I won't go to your rich neighborhoods. I'm fine, right?
This is the best part about it. It is so... He should not come here under these circumstances, because it is such a massive inconvenience the way they have planned this. You guys have to hear this. This is insane what the plan is. And also that Seattle officer, police officer, who was heard laughing in regards to a pedestrian's death, he's going to be speaking at an upcoming traffic safety conference. And I'm upset that people are even covering this. It makes me mad that we are now cyber stalking this police officer.
Okay.
Washington State Patrol is fined $750,000 for failing to disclose public records after a car crash. Why would they do such a thing? Slip through the cracks, they say. $750,000 of taxpayer dollars. We'll talk about it when we get back right after this.